preach for us, brother.
Amen.
Appreciate Brother Billy coming up and be with us, he and his dear wife.
Yes, amen.
And just be ashamed not preaching him. Amen. Since he's with us, I want to hear the man of God preach. He's been around a while, preaching the word of God around the country over the years, been greatly used of God. You pray for him now.
God bless you, Brother Duncan. Well, praise God. It's good to be here tonight. And I certainly have enjoyed these services. Myra and I have enjoyed being here. I've enjoyed every sermon. I thank the Lord for these men that have preached and helped me. And all the singing. I can't stand this contemporary stuff. I can't stand it. I like this old-fashioned gospel singing. And I've been blessed. Amen. And thank the good Lord for the good food. Brother Duncan talking about not having no breath. I know what it is. It's a full. That's why Brother Bobby couldn't sing. Get that. He had to take that breath when his in between, you know, had a half a word, hand. So full he couldn't breathe. Food's been wonderful, amen. Everything's been good, and I've enjoyed being here. And thank the Lord tonight. I really did not come to preach. I came to listen. And when Brother Duncan said to me, if I call on you, will you preach? I just looked at him. He said, the Lord's laid you on my heart. I said, well, if the Lord's laid me on your heart, then you just be led of the Lord. So God knows, you know, and so I'll try to preach what I feel like the Lord has impressed upon my heart. Amen. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's what the Bible says, Proverbs 17:22. So we ought to laugh every chance we get. You're going to have to cry enough in this world. So I'm always looking for and listening for little humorous things, you know. I like those particularly that are related to preachers and preaching. I heard about this lady. She was complimenting her pastor one Sunday after the service, and she just said, Pastor, your sermons are just wonderful. She said, I just appreciate so much your preaching. She said, you know, I get all the tapes and take them home to my husband to listen to, and said, your preaching has been such a blessing to him since he lost his mind. Amen. I had a dear lady in my church. She's in heaven now, but she was a dear lady, and she always wanted to say something to complimentary, you know, and she'd say little things to me as she left. As I recall, she was about 88 years old, and she walked out one Sunday morning, and she said, Brother Goolsby, she said, every sermon you preach is better than the next one. Took some of y'all a while to get that one. I knew what she meant. She meant to say every sermon you preach is better than the last one. Don't you tell me any different. Amen. Since it took some of y'all a little while to get that one, I'll tell you another one. I was preaching in, a military church in Heidelberg, Germany, several years ago. And they told me, they said, if you tell any jokes, said, there's one lady in our church, said she's real slow about picking up on jokes. And said about 10 minutes after you tell something funny, she liable just burst out laughing. Said, don't think anything about it. I'm from Alabama, originally. I'm from Alabama, and I got up there, and this was back when Alabama was having trouble with their football program, and it seemed like they couldn't get the right coach in there. And so I got up there, and I said, well, Alabama's finally got them a football coach. He's a Chinaman. His name is Win Won Soon. That woman that they were telling me about, she said, ah, I got it, I got it, I got it. Amen. Well, it's good for us to laugh. I want us to open our Bibles, the book of Genesis, please, chapter 37. On Monday night, we heard a wonderful message from Genesis, the book of Genesis, chapter 50, when our brother talked about that box of bones, and he preached on Joseph. Well, I want to back up a little bit tonight and talk some about Joseph for these next few minutes that we share together. I won't preach long. I promise you I won't preach long. There's two reasons I don't preach long anymore. One reason is I give out. I can't hold out to preach long. And another reason is I've discovered that people quit listening after a while. So there's no need me keep going on if you're not going to listen. So I won't be long. Amen. Genesis chapter 37, verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and he told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, and his father observed the saying. Well, I want to talk to you for a few minutes tonight on this thought. Realizing your dreams are making your dreams come true. And I'm talking about the dreams that God gives you. I'm talking about that which God puts in your heart. And how that you can realize that and see it come to fruition and consummation in your life. And there are several things about this story that I want to remind you about Joseph. and how that Joseph realized these dreams that God put in his heart. I want you to notice, first of all, that to realize your dreams, you must not demand to understand everything that happens in your life. I'm telling you, there'll be things that will happen into your life that will throw you for a loop, and you won't know what's happening. You won't know what God is doing, and you'll have a thousand questions, but just don't demand to understand. You see, we do not live on explanations. We live on promises. Amen. I tell you, when Abraham, when he started up that mountain with Isaac that day to offer him as a sacrifice, Abraham was not living on explanation. I tell you why he is walking up that hillside. He had a promise from God that God was going to bless his seed and make him as the sand of the sea. And he had every confidence in God and his promise that if God let him go through with that sacrifice of Isaac, that in order for God to keep his word, he'd have to raise Isaac from the dead. And he did not doubt one minute but what God would do that. Amen. He's living on promises, not explanations. I mean, he waited a long time for that boy to be born, and he was 100 years old when Isaac was born. But he had that promise from God, and he trusted God. He didn't understand maybe everything, but he trusted God. And when Isaac said, "Dad, we've got the wood and we've got the fire. Where's the sacrifice?" He said, "God will provide himself a sacrifice." Amen. We live on promises and not on explanation. Amen. My wife, years ago, she had a tumor in her head and went through a 12-hour operation. And when the doctor finally came out, after about 13 hours, he came and me and the boys and her parents were sitting there in this little conference room. And that doctor started telling us about that surgery, that 12-hour surgery. He told us how big that tumor was and how it was around the jugular vein and how many nerves were involved and how tedious it was. And he went through the whole process explaining everything. I didn't get any comfort from that. I mean, I didn't get any hope from that at all. But when he got through explaining everything, this is what he said. He said, "Now the next 48 hours will be very critical. But," he said, "if she makes it 48 hours, she'll be all right." I tell you, that started bringing some comfort to when he started making them promises. Amen. I started to get comfort from that. And so, child of God, don't try to figure out everything. You don't live on explanation. I mean, God didn't. When God had that conversation with the devil up in heaven about Job, God didn't go down there and say, "Now, Job, I mean, the devil's been talking, and I just want you to know that I'm going to turn the devil loose on you, and I've told the devil that you'd be all right." God didn't explain to Job what that conversation. Amen. But I tell you, Job, there's no doubt in my mind that Job had a lot of questions as he went through all that he had to go through. He had a lot of questions, but I tell you one thing, he had some promises from God too. And that's why he could say in Job 23:10, "When he hath tried me, for he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Amen. And he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Now, why could he say that? Because he had a promise. He said, "I know my Redeemer liveth. and that in the latter days his feet shall stand upon the earth, and though after the skin worms devour this flesh, this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, and mine eyes shall behold him and not another. I say to you tonight, don't demand to understand. We don't live on explanation. We live on promises. Amen. And Joseph went on because the Lord was with him. He knew the Lord was with him. It says in chapter 39, verse 2, 3, 21, 23, it says the Lord was with Joseph. Amen. And I want to tell you tonight, child of God, the Lord is with us. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For the Lord has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. God said in Isaiah 49:15, how can a mother forget her sucking child that she not have compassion on the son of her own womb? And God answered that question and said, yea, as she may forget, yet will I not forget thee. So God is with us and he's not going to forget us. Don't demand to understand. I want to say secondly, don't fail to be faithful. Don't fail to be faithful. I tell you, we have example here in this man, Joseph. We have an example of faithfulness as a good illustration of faithfulness that you can find in the whole Bible. He was faithful in servitude. His brothers hated him, and this was mentioned earlier. They wanted to kill him. Reuben restrained them, and they saw a band of Ishmaelites coming, and they said, we'll sell him as a slave. And they sold him as a slave. He was taken down to Egypt and became a servant in Potiphar's house, serving Potiphar down there in Egypt. And the Bible said that the Potiphar, the master, saw that the Lord was with Joseph. He just kept on serving God. He just kept on being faithful to God. Even though he was a slave in a foreign land, he just kept on serving the Lord. He stayed true to God. He stayed faithful to God. In his servitude, he stayed faithful to God. He was faithful in servitude. He was faithful in self-control. Potiphar's wife, I got her eye on Joseph, and she wanted to seduce Joseph and cause him to sin. Joseph had gained the favor of his master, and his master was gone on a journey, and he had such confidence in Joseph that he put him in charge of everything. He put him in, left everything in his charge, and Joseph went in the house one day, and that woman said to Joseph, I want you to lie with me. And Joseph said, I can't sin against God, and I can't sin against my master. I can't do this. And she got a hold of his coat, and Joseph walked out of his coat, but thank God he kept his character. He walked away in self-control. He walked away from that woman that was trying to lead him away from God. I want to tell you, there'll be everything in the world. The devil will try to put everything before you to lead you away from God and to lead you into sin. But you need to be committed to the Lord. You need to be dedicated to the Lord. And when the temptation comes, you need to walk away. You need to resist. You need to stand for God in the time of temptation. He was faithful in self-control. And then he was faithful in suffering. Because of that lie that woman told on him, Joseph was put in prison. Not because he did anything wrong, because that woman lied on him. He's put down in prison. And down there in the prison, there was a butler and a baker. And they had a dream, and they told Joseph their dream. They said, "Can you tell us what this means?" And Joseph said to the baker, "Well, I'm sorry to inform you, but your dream is that you're going to be killed, amen. You're going to lose your life." And he said to the butler, "Your dream is this, you're going to be restored to your butlership. You're going to be taken back up into the big house." And he said, "When you get back up there, remember me." But the Bible said in Genesis 40 and verse number 23, said, "Yet did the butler not remember Joseph, but forget him." Amen. He got back up in the big house and he forgot about Joseph. And for 2 more years, Joseph is down there in that prison. But you know what the Bible said? It said the keeper of that prison saw that the Lord was with Joseph. He just kept on serving God. He just kept on being true to God. He just kept on being a Christian. In spite of his circumstances, in spite of the lies of the devil, he just kept on serving God. Amen. He was faithful. Don't fail to be faithful. I want to say a third thing tonight. Don't bow to bitterness. Don't bow to bitterness. In the book of Hebrews, I want to look up the verse in chapter 12 in the book of Hebrews. It tells us about bitterness. In Hebrews 12 and verse number 15, it says, "Looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." I want to say to you tonight, if you want to realize your dreams, if you want to make your dreams come true, don't bow to bitterness. There'll be a lot of things come in your life that has the potential of making you bitter. And if anyone had a reason to be bitter, it was Joseph. I mean, he had every reason in the world to have bitterness in his heart, but he had no bitterness. He had no bitterness in his heart. I want to tell you tonight, you preachers, you pastors, You work with people and pray for people and weep over people and you help people. You go out of your way to help them and to encourage them. And when they're in time of need, you do everything you can to meet the need. And then they rise up against you and they walk away from you. If you're not mighty careful, you get bitterness in your heart. You get bitter if you're not careful. I've had that happen to me so many times. It's unreal. I had an incident just recently, a few weeks ago. I heard this man was leaving our church. He didn't tell me, but I heard. They usually don't tell the preacher when they're going to leave. But I heard he's leaving our church. And, I was really upset about it. Because of the situation and how our church had helped that man. I helped him move twice. I mean, I took my truck and my body, and 2 different times I helped him move when he needed help moving. And when he got in a bad way and couldn't pay his rent, our church paid his rent at least twice, maybe 3 times, I don't remember exactly, but we paid his rent at least twice. Then he couldn't pay his utility bills. And we paid his utility bills at least 3 times over a period of 4, 5, 6 years. We paid his utility bills at least 3 times. Then his wife was in the hospital, And for her to go home, she had to have a special piece of equipment, or she couldn't go home. And in order for him to get home, he had to have $1,000 to get that equipment before she could be brought home. So our church gave him $1,000 to get his wife out of the hospital. This is what he said to me: when the insurance company reimburses me, I'll put that back in the benevolent fund at church. I said, that'll be fine. But he never did do that. He never mentioned that again. And when I heard through another person that he's leaving our church, I said, well, I'm going to go over there and tell him, tell a low down thing. I said, I'm going to go over and remind him of what this church has done for him. And I tell you what I wanted to do. You want to know what I wanted to do in my flesh? I wanted to go over there and put my fist in his mouth up to my elbow. That's what I wanted to do. Made me mad as a devil. But the fellow who told me that, he said, now, Brother Bill, he said, just forget about it. Well, you know, that's easy to say. Just forget about it. I don't tell you I didn't forget about it. I had to pray about it for a long time. I'm over it now. I don't want to go over there and whip him anymore. But that's just one. Listen, I've been preaching. I'm working on 47 years. That's just one of multitudes of time that things like that have happened in my ministry. But I want to tell you, can't bow to bitterness. I read to you the verse in Hebrews, bitterness will destroy you. Bitterness will eat you up like a cancer. Bitterness will destroy you. And not only that, bitterness will destroy that person against whom you have bitterness. You get bitterness into your heart against someone, and every time their name is mentioned, your jaws will tighten. And you'll try to think of something bad to say about them. Amen. It'll destroy you. Bitterness will destroy you. It'll destroy that person against whom you have bitterness. And it'll destroy the work of God. You don't need to let bitterness get a hold of you. You need to confess it. You need to bring it to God and name it as sin and ask God to forgive you. Don't let bitterness get a hold of you. Amen. Sometimes your friend as a preacher, you think is your close buddy and friend, he'll turn against you and he'll lie on you and he'll tell things that'll break your heart. I'm telling you, if you're not careful, that old root of bitterness will get in your heart and will spring up in you and it'll destroy you. You can't let bitterness destroy you. Don't bow to bitterness. Joseph did not bow to bitterness. And I'll prove that to you in just a minute. I'm fixing to close in just a minute. I'll prove to you that he had no bitterness in his heart. I said, don't demand to understand. And don't fail to be faithful. And don't bow to bitterness. The fourth thing I want to say to you is don't push providence. Give God an opportunity to work in your life to bring about the consummation of that dream that he put in your heart. Now, Joseph was 17 years old when God gave him these dreams. He was 17 years old. Now, had God wanted to do so, God could have put Joseph in Egypt and made him second only to the Pharaoh in Egypt. God could have done that when Joseph was 17 years old. But God knew that Joseph was not ready for that. So for 20 years, God in His providence worked on Joseph. For 20 years, Joseph faithfully serving God, maybe having a lot of questions from time to time, but faithfully serving God. 20 years passed. Well, while he was dead, 20 years didn't pass. Now, 2 years passed after the butler got up out of the prison in the palace. 2 years passed, and then the Pharaoh had a dream, and the astrologers and soothsayers and magicians of Egypt couldn't interpret the dream, and the butler remembered Joseph. He said, "Hey, there's a man down there in the prison that can interpret that dream." And so Pharaoh called Joseph up before him, and he said to Joseph, I saw seven big cows and seven skinny cows. And he said the seven skinny cows ate up the seven big cows and didn't get any bigger. And he said, I saw seven big ears of corn and seven little nubbins. And he said, the seven little nubbins ate up the seven big ears of corn and didn't get any bigger. What does all that mean? And Joseph said, sir, this is what that means. You're going to have 7 years of bumper crops. You're going to have 7 years of plenty. You're going to grow more than you know what to do with. And then you're going to have 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh said, sounds like a pretty smart dude to me. I'm making him my secretary of agriculture. Amen. So for 7 years, they grew more crops than they could hardly store. They built places of storage, and they prepared for 7 years. They prepared because Joseph knew that there are going to be 7 years of famine. And the famine hit. And it got bad up in Canaan, where Joseph's brothers were living. And their daddy Jacob said one day, he said, I hear they got corn down in Egypt. He said, you boys go down there and buy some. And Joseph's brothers came down to Egypt. And they didn't know, 20 years had passed, they didn't know Joseph. But Joseph knew them. You ask them all kind of questions, you know. You ask them all kind of questions, and he found out he had a brother, Benjamin, that had been born after he was sold as a slave. But I want you to see that God in His providence brought Joseph to this place. Don't push providence. Give God time to work in your life. Give God time to make that dream come true. And Joseph, they went back the first time, and then they had to come back the second time. And when they came back the second time, Joseph couldn't restrain himself, and he put everybody out of the room, and he said to his brothers, I'm Joseph. Can you imagine the fear that gripped their heart when he told them who he was? I tell you, they must have thought, boy, we've had it now. What's he going to do to us now? After what we've done to him, what's he going to do to us? But I want you to see something here. Joseph had no bitterness. Joseph had no unforgiveness. Joseph had no malice. Joseph said to him, hey, what you did to me, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Don't push providence. Let God work in your life. And then, of course, don't dissolve your dream. Don't dissolve your dream. If God puts something in your heart, you just faithfully serve God. You just faithfully be obedient to God. And God, in His own time, will bring about the consummation of that dream. And you know the end of that story, how that Joseph's family, his mother and daddy, his brothers, they all were moved down into Egypt as a result of what happened to Joseph. And Joseph's dream came to a conclusion that was comforting to him and to them. They didn't hate him anymore. They loved him because of what God did in his life. Let's stand for prayer, please.